Sometimes the best addition to your football team is subtraction, and that's what you got to figure out. And being with these guys for a long time, and there are some things that you want to address. You know, you want to make sure you have the right people in here. And I'm not saying that all 53 guys are my type of guys. You know, there are going to be some changes that are going
to
be made.
Well, addition, subtraction, however you want to break it down, the numbers all work out to 4-12. Not very good, as the ball coach once said, right?
Well, yeah. Too bad they didn't go 5-11, so we couldn't play Spurrier all day.
That we would have used that instead of Jay Gruden.
Absolutely.
Just now, if that were the case. Rob Woodfork here, Skins beat reporter George Wallace, Noah Frank, our sports editor, all on hand to eulogize the Redskins 2014 season. 4-12, as we mentioned, 7-25 over the course of the last 2 years.
Hey, they got better. Last year they won 3 games.
That's right. So on, they're folks on a trajectory.
Come on, people.
Within what, maybe the next 10 years, they might be a Super Bowl contender?
Look.
If you just add one win a year.
Exactly.
Good.
Remember when Norv Turner was winning like 3 extra games every year? He started out 3-13.
3-13, yeah.
And then went that. Yeah, yeah. Well, we would kill for that right about now.
Norv Turner was also 7-1 and then finished 9-7, too.
There's also that.
In 96.
There's also that. Oh, memories. There's so many good memories here in recent years. Let's figure out what went wrong in 2014.
How much time do we have?
Well, not much. I guess we'll hit the highlights. Quarterback situation, obviously an issue. Lack of depth, injuries. But I saw this stat today, and this was really telling. 1,130 penalty yards. It's a new franchise record. So, lack of discipline.
Discipline, yeah. I mean, that goes back to coaching. I mean, it does.
Jay Gruden, of course, with the worst first season since Norv Turner, the aforementioned Norv Turner, back in 1994. I don't think they're heading in the right direction here.
And when he came in, you know, he was very optimistic, but I don't know that the rest of us were that optimistic. I think he really was. I think he really felt like, hey, like, I've got something here, and you can see the pieces at the skill positions. If you just look at the skill positions, the Redskins look pretty good.
And I think that's why we all felt like they would make such a marked improvement from last year, was because you figure RG3's back healthy, you have DeSean Jackson on one side, Pierre Garçon on the other. We've been told that Jordan Reed is the greatest thing to happen to tight ends since Antonio Gates materialized out of nowhere. So, I mean, just they look good on paper, they play really fun on Madden, but in real life, 4-12.
Well, that's the thing, because after, you know, you figure last offseason, okay, you got rid of Mike and Kyle, that was the problem.
Right.
Griffin's coming back healthy, new coach that fixed, or, you know, worked with Andy Dalton, maybe took him as far as he could go, and that was your optimism.
Yeah.
But now, after seeing what you did see this year, you look forward to next year. Like, what do you have to look forward to if you're a Redskins fan? I see nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what are you optimistic about next year?
And that's
absolutely nothing.
That's the most depressing part about it is, even when they were mediocre under, Gibbs and even the part of the Shanahan regime, you always had something to look forward to. You always had that hope that, all right, well, we have this guy now, or you have, I think all of that is gone now.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest salt in the wound is the team that you would maybe least have expected to be able to say, oh, look, you can see things going in the right direction, and that is happening with is the St. Louis Rams. The Rams look like a complete mess, a complete disaster coming into the season. Bradford goes down.
Yeah.
I had him penciled in for 3 or 4 wins this year. I thought they would just be, you know, a complete tire fire. And they come in, and you see all those little things come together. And
they had some big wins this year. They knocked off Denver.
Yeah,
yeah.
They did.
And then they came in here and just completely shut the door. I mean, you know, like, you see the foundation that they can build on moving forward.
And again, it all comes down to drafting, and that you could point to all of the picks that they got from the RG3 trade to set them up in position to be as competitive as they were. But the big irony there is that they're missing pieces quarterback.
Right. But you talk about drafting, and that goes back to the major problem from this team, that there's no personnel guy, and I know everybody talks about it all the time, but that is really where this is going to start to turn around. You have to get somebody, a football guy, in the building year round that knows football, that can draft, that's a player personnel guy, that can evaluate talent.
What gets
until
me
you
is
get
they
that,
have a guy in house that's qualified for that. AJ Smith has been in their
but
building
he's not here
for
all
two
the
years.
Time.
Right.
He's in San Diego most of the time. If you can pay him enough money and convince him to move here, fine, but basically he's on record, according to pretty high-ranked sources, that he doesn't like any of these three quarterbacks. So, okay, if you convince AJ Smith to come here full time and be your whatever title you give him, and he doesn't like any of these three quarterbacks, then what do you do if you're right. Snyder or Bruce Allen? You know what I mean?
The quarterback issue isn't the main issue, though. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that we saw. You have three.
It's the highest profile, but it's not the biggest.
And
you
get three guys who all have some strengths and some weaknesses. I was talking about this earlier today. I feel like if you actually knew you had 16 healthy games out of all three of them, RG3 would clearly win you the most amount of games if you could stay healthy.
Yeah,
but it's still probably not 9 or 10 or a playoff number of wins. And as a team's constructed right now, because that's not the biggest hole.
No.
The offensive line, I mean, I look at a couple of the numbers when I've been sorting through, you know, mostly just for fantasy reasons, trying to figure out who I want to play. But, I mean, they just give up so many sacks and so many quarterback hits. And, I mean, you just, how could anybody, even if it was a veteran quarterback, be comfortable in the pocket when they're just getting battered
offensive
around?
Line, defensive line, and secondary. Those are the three spots. They have the fifth pick in the draft. If you don't address the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. They need to completely overhaul the secondary.
You're going to need
to. They've been putting Band-Aids over the safety position for at least 4 years.
I thought Breland was pretty good this year for a rookie.
He's one of the few bright spots.
Right,
he and Ryan Kerrigan are one of the few.
And that's it. That's your lone Bruce Allen draft pick that will possibly pay off.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's pretty telling there. And like I said, you got to overhaul that secondary. Phillip Thomas may be the only guy I would keep. You got to stop relying on Merriweather. Ryan Clark is
done.
Closer to 40 than being productive.
Yeah.
They just need to wipe the slate clean and start completely over. And they need to do it between the draft. They need to do it between free agency.
You know, everybody's killing Jim Haslett for all this stuff. And I'm not making any excuses for Jim Haslett. But the fact that so many guys went down to injury, the starting positions on this team, that there were no competent guys with experience that can play in the backup spots. And that goes back to player personnel guys.
Right.
That's it.
And they've had so many changes in the front office in recent years that it's hard to lay blame at any one person's feet. But, I mean, Bruce has been the one constant, and I guess he's the one who's going to accept a lot of the blame.
You heard him say, if you want to point from now, you know, after Mike Shanahan's gone, he says, okay, if you blame anybody and you want to point fingers at anybody, you look at me. And that's it.
Yeah.
So Wednesday morning at 10:30 should be interesting.
It should be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Jim Haslett is still the defensive coordinator on that day, because that seems to be sort of the obvious move to make is to move him out.
There has to be change. There has to be changes to make, and I think that will. I don't want to say keep fans happy, but and I think you're going to have to overhaul a lot of that defensive staff, Raheem Morris included. I mean, the secondary didn't get much better.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not going to fire the head coach, which you're not going to do, you'll probably get rid of the defensive coordinator. Look, as far as names out there, Wade Phillips, his son is already on the staff.
Yeah.
He's a 3-4 guy if you don't want to change.
That would be a good get.
Yeah.
But he's a Shanahan guy, so.
Yeah, but, you know, he's also out of work, too.
Yeah, that's true. Because once upon a time, Marty Schottenheimer said he would never work for Dan Snyder.
Ever.
And he took the money. Speaking of money, the Redskins will have to try and save some by cutting some guys in the offseason. You figure, I guess, Stephen Bowen would be out, but a surprise cut maybe in Pierre Garçon, possibly?
Yeah, I mean, he's count $9 million against unless they rework his deal, I would think he's probably will be a casualty of that, yeah.
You want to hear a fearless prediction?
Please do.
I think Noah's going to like this.
Okay. You can already tell he's going to like it?
Yeah, he's smiling at me. Either that or he stole something from me and we're not discussing it. But
it's possible.
The DeSean Jackson signing.
Yes.
Because it worked out. I think is going to embolden the Redskins and say, you know what? We've got these problem child receivers down. I think we can manage these guys. Let's go ahead and send a low round draft pick to Cleveland and get Josh Gordon. What do you think?
It's
one of RG3's old Baylor teammates.
It's true.
Apparently they're just in the business. Winning games? Nah, man, we're good. We're just going to try and prop up RG3.
Do you really think Cleveland wants to get rid of him that badly?
Oh, they wanted to get rid of him last offseason, but now they've completely killed his trade value, and the fact that the Redskins would love to just do business with people. Like, you know what? These draft picks are just burning my pockets. I'm going to send one to you.
I want to see what happens with it. I'm really interested, actually, in what happens with his, if they file a grievance for him missing this game, which made him a restricted free agent instead of an unrestricted free agent. He didn't qualify for the full season. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that the Players Association is just going to let that one fly by, and that'll impact, obviously.
How's he going to leave Cleveland when Johnny Football is still throwing parties in Cleveland?
Come on. RG3 can throw a good party, right?
True. He can. He and Gruden are neighbors. They could have one big party.
See? Block party.
Block party.
On the flip side of this, obviously they've got draft picks, but there's a limited amount of draft picks. You've got X amount of money you can spend in free agency. These are not limitless pools where you can pick up talent. Is it worth looking at one of the assets that you have to try to trade, to try to get more draft picks, to try to get more, you know, they seem to be probably deepest, I don't know, wide receiver? Are they?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think the Redskins have enough tradable commodities. I don't know how many of the guys on their team would have significant value elsewhere.
Well,
I
mean, you look at the receiver you're talking about, Santana Moss is probably done. Leonard Hankerson, free agent.
He's a free agent anyway, yeah.
You know, Garcon could be a casualty of the $9 million cap hit.
I mean, the only guy that conceivably you could do something with is if you would have to, and this is a stretch, but you'd have to franchise Arakpo again and then maybe send him somewhere where they're desperate for a pass rusher.
Right.
But the fact that he ended the season on injured reserve for the third time in 4 years isn't going to really help.
I don't have a problem bringing him back for cheap, Arakpo. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
Yeah.
Although that
didn't
would
sound
be...
like he wanted to. Right?
Yeah,
no, yeah.
I saw the quotes.
He still lives under the delusion that he's an elite player.
Yeah.
And everybody except him thinks that he needs to prove that. So
he got a Geico commercial out of it, right?
Well, he did. He did. So I guess that's a net victory for him.
Bottom line is now this is when the fun starts for this team.
Oh yeah,
because it's
this
a long process.
Off-season team.
It's a long process, and there's a lot that needs to be done, and it's not going to be done quickly or overnight.
Oh no.
But as you're fond of saying, the Redskins always win the offseason.
That's true. They do. Off-season champs.
They are undefeated and still champ.
Off-season champs.
In the off-season. Well, we get no off-season. We're always...
No, it's fun starts now. Is there a belt? Is there a belt for a trophy for that?
We should get one.
We should.
Because I'm just dying to do the discount double check, the Aaron Rodgers thing.
Wait, you just have to go back and backdate the champion years every single year and just leave enough space so we can fill it in the future.
Perfect. We can put that right next to the... Mystics attendance banners. Yeah, we should do that. All right, well, we're signing off. Rob Woodfork here, along with George Wallace, Redskins beat reporter, and Noah Frank, our sports digital editor. We'll talk to you guys next time.